I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. Glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur. And the Spurs go marching on.
Welcome to Hometown Glory. I'm Rosa, and I'm so thrilled to introduce a true club legend, Jenna Scalacci. Jenna joined Spurs at 16, spending 12 years in total at the club and making more than 200 appearances. She was captain as we rose through the leagues before winning promotion to the Women's Super League in 2019. She retired in June last year after leading us into an incredible new era that just wouldn't have been possible without her. Jenna, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. How have you been since retiring? You seem to be keeping quite busy.
Yeah, I haven't been too bad. I've been, as you say, I've been very busy. I feel like I haven't really stopped, but it's always good to be busy, isn't it? I'm now working full time at the club and then just started up my own coaching business. And I'm also doing a bit of commentary as well. So, yeah, it's all going really well at the moment. Touch wood, it continues.
That is a lot. That is a lot. So what do you do for the club?
So I work with their academy team, which are the team that sit just below the first team. So they're like 16 to 20. So the potential stars of the future, like the best young talent in the country. And then I coach the college under 19s team. So, yeah, it's a bit of both, but I'm really enjoying it. And it's nice to be around, you know, younger girls with that dream of being a professional footballer. So hopefully I can help them in any way I can.
That's so exciting. Well, we might come back to that a little bit later and ask you if you've got sort of an eye on any like stars of the future. That'd be good to know about. Yep. What are you thinking about Spurs women right now? As I said earlier, it's an exciting new era for the team, really.
Yeah, they've had a great start to the season so far. They've really closed the gap on the top four, I think. With Rianne on board, the aim for this season was to close that gap, and they've got off to a flying start. I think if you would have told them at the beginning of the season that they'd be sitting in fourth position, would have nicked points off of Arsenal and Man United, you know, we might not have believed it. But no, it's full credit to Rianne, the coaching staff and the players. They've done so, so well. They don't fear anyone anymore. I think the mentality shifted. I think the recruitment was excellent during the summer. They've got experienced WSL players, international players. So, yeah, I mean, they've got off to a fly and hopefully it continues. If they carry on like this, could be in danger of qualifying for the Champions League.
This is it. This is what I'm hoping for. I feel like the North London Derby was a real game changer the other week.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, it was an incredible match. Just so unlucky to lose it right at the end.
Oh, no.
It had to be Maynamar, didn't it? But no, I mean, they can be incredibly proud of that. They're competing and, you know, they're really pushing those top teams to it for the whole 90 minutes. I think in past seasons, we weren't consistent over 90 minutes against the top teams. And, you know, once one goal went in, the floodgates open. But this season, you're seeing a lot stronger, resilient team who, you know, really putting up a fight with every match they're going into.
This is it. They seem to me to be a real sort of strong, tight squad, really. Like they're really willing to sort of fight till the end. I feel like we got that from like in the everything that like Rianne's been saying after the game and all the players as well, just fighting for 90 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a real family feel, and there always has been there at Tottenham. I think where we've got a lot of new players come in this season, you wouldn't really have thought that they would have got off to such a good start. because on the pitch they look like they've been playing with each other for seasons. But yeah, they're fighting for each other and they believe in themselves and they believe in each other. I think our bench is stronger this season as well. So we have got players that can come off the bench and make a difference. And we've also seen that this season, which probably lacked in the past.
Do you have a standout game then this season, or do you think it was the North London Derby?
I think, yeah, it's got to be that. I mean, that's the closest in the history of the club that we've ever got. And to hold them at 92 minutes to 1-0. And, you know, we could have, if that goal from Neville would have gone in, that chance, oh, probably still seeing that when she goes to sleep. But had that gone in, you know, it could have been a different story. They weren't sitting back. They were going for it. They don't fear these teams anymore. So, yeah, I think for me, just being with the club for so long and seeing how far it's come, as a fan, like, that's the best performance I've seen from the team.
Do you know what? I really felt quite emotional after that game, but also before this, I was rereading your bio and it feels like we are entering into this new era, but you've been such a massive part of that, Jenna, and like genuinely, it wouldn't have been possible without players like you. And I did feel quite emotional. I've got two little girls and I really want them to kind of grow up and like look at the Spurs players and think, you know, I want to go there, or, you know, they don't have to play, but I'd love them to enjoy it. And the players that are starting out now are going to be icons of the future.
Yeah.
And that's such a big part, like, you were such a big part of that.
Yeah. I mean, when I look back at it now, I didn't really realize when I was in it, but when I look back now and think where the club was 12 years ago, or when I started off at 16, it's like a million miles away. You know, we had to wear kit that was handed down from the men's team, but it was like 3 seasons old. I had to pay to play, no training kit. There was one coach and a physio, that was it, on cut-up pitches. We'd train late at night. So to think how far the club has come, it is down to a lot of hard work from people behind the scenes, as well as like my old teammates that got the team there. But yeah, I mean, I think Tottenham's the only women's club to do what they've done, starting from the very bottom and getting to the WSL with promotions alone. So it took a lot of sacrifice from a lot of people, but, you know, it's all worth it. And without the people of the past, yeah, you're right, it wouldn't be where it is today. But it's so exciting now, like where I'm working with the kids as well, just to see the opportunities, what they have, the support they have around them, which if you look back, even probably 5-6 years ago, we didn't have that. It was only in the last 4 years that we started to, you know, get that professional feel, but they have everything. You know, they turn up, they've got the kit. They don't know, they're born the kids. Don't know. That's good. And it's really exciting time around the club. And I have no doubt that in 5 season time, they will be up there as one of the best teams in the country.
That makes me so happy to hear it. That's what I think. Spurs have timed it quite well as well, because it seems like this is the year that people are really, really starting to pay proper attention to the Women's Super League, especially with the TV deal and the fact that it's on the BBC, it's on Sky.
Yeah.
And we can watch all the games as well.
Yeah. And I think all the games that have been there, they've been really entertaining, like the Man United game as well. Come back in that last minute. Rhea's free kick in the last 30 seconds, it's the matches are competitive, that, and that's what you want. You don't want the, you know, the hammerings that used to take place. The gap is smaller. I think that does make it more attractive to like neutral fans as well, just tuning in.
Absolutely, absolutely. Although we will take the 11-0 in the cup, yes, the other night. Yes, yeah. Not going to say no to that. Well, shall we dive into our Spurs 7 then?
Yes.
These, we think, are our 7 definitive questions for Spurs fans and players. So, and then later we'll have a few listener questions. So let's go. Your Spurs origin story. Now, you are from a big Spurs family, right? So we need to know about that. But also, what's the story behind you signing for Spurs? And how and when did you fall in love with the club?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, my family are all Spurs mad. So my mum grew up in Wood Green, my nan lived in Wood Green, and we're all just Tottenham mad. I've got 2 brothers, so an older brother. So all I've ever known is Tottenham and playing football with my brothers in the garden. We've had season tickets since we were kids. So I used to go down to White Hart Lane every weekend. I used to absolutely love it, like the excitement, knowing it was match day. So, yeah, that's how I became obviously a Spurs fan. And then at the time when I was a kid, there wasn't any girls' teams around. There was nothing. So I just had to go and watch my brothers and, you know, at halftime, get my dad on the pitch, take penalties with me, and then get kicked off when they're starting again. So that was pretty much all that I could do at the time. And my brothers would let me play like when they were training with them. And then my dad, bless him, he set up a girls team for me just locally to where I live at the local club. But it was basically just me and I had to rope in all my friends. So he was a black cab driver. So he'd go and pick them all up, take them to training, do the session, drop them all home. Same on match days. He did everything. And it was also that I could play football. And that was for a couple of seasons. And then obviously when I used to go to Tottenham, I would read the programme back to front and I saw that they had a women's section. I mean, it was tiny. It was like three or four lines about the women's team. And I knew that I couldn't join there until I was 16. So that's what I had in my mind. Like, as soon as I'm 16, I'm going to go there. And I did. As soon as I turned 16, my mum took me to a training session in the middle of Tottenham. It was like on this cut up pitch. It was like 9 o'clock at night. I was the youngest person there by about 15 years old, but I absolutely loved it. And I signed for them there. And then there wasn't much coaching like now when I look back compared to what it is now. You just turned up and played, but I absolutely loved it. I played in a Tottenham kit. So yeah, that's how I got into it. And I was there for a season. Loved it, but then I got scouted to go to QPR, so I left, and then I came back when I was 23, and then I was there until I was 36. So it's been an incredible journey, like from grassroots to semi-professional to professional. So yeah, it's a journey that I'm really proud of, and when I look back on it now, it does feel like a bit of a dream as a Spurs fan, and to say I got to captain the club to a professional level is incredible, really.
It is amazing when I think about you talking about saying, okay, that's what I'm going to do when I'm 16 and I'm just going to show up, to then getting your first professional, like real professional contract. How did that moment feel?
Yeah, I mean, it gives me goosebumps when I think about it. It was incredible, and it was a dream that I always had. I always remember I used to go down when I went to watch Tottenham. I'd always like wonder, oh, I wonder if I'll ever get to play on this pitch. But I knew it would never. At the time, it was never going to, it was my dream, but it weren't, I couldn't see it. So it was hard to believe that it would happen. When it looked like we had potentially an opportunity to go professional, it was all I could think about, all I wanted. And, you know, it took three or four seasons as hard graft, but we were so close. And I knew with my age, it was now or never kind of thing. So I just had to go and grab it. And lucky for me, it paid off and I got to live my dream. And yeah, it's incredible, but yeah, I mean, it is incredible when you look back.
You led the team out, right, against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, that was a really proud day. I had all my family there and my nieces and nephews. And I remember being in the tunnel and hearing all the fireworks go off. And that's when it like really hit home. And I had a little flashback and I was like, right, now I need to focus. But yeah, that was an incredible day. And for me personally and also for the club and everyone that's played their part in the club, it was just a really special day.
As a fan as well, it's sort of a two-part question really, I guess. So your all-time favourite Spurs player, now obviously you can have one that you've watched, but also someone that you've played with. I'd like to know the answers to both of those, actually.
My all-time favourite player is Ginola, because he was, when he was at Tottenham, he was left mid, I was left mid. He used to take the set pieces, I used to take the set pieces. I just used to love watching him, and I felt every time he got on the ball in White Hart Lane, like the stadium used to just erupt, like you knew something special was going to happen. He was just a really creative player and I loved watching him. I used to get to the ground early just to watch him practice his corners and stuff. So he was my favourite player growing up and watching. And my favourite player I've played with is a good friend of mine, Josie Green. She's still in the first team at the minute, and she plays like a defensive midfielder role. And as a defender, she's just one of the strongest. Like, she's like a little Jack Russell. She just sniffs out any danger. So she made my job a lot easier. And she's a player that I've played with for, I think I played with her for about 5-6 seasons. So a really good friend. And yeah, so she's someone that you'd always want on your team. You wouldn't want to play against her. She looks small and pretty, but she's a little Jack Russell on the pitch. You wouldn't want to come up against her.
So sort of like your Kante or somebody, yeah, like that. Yeah. Someone who's just like, that's it. That's my guy. That's the one I need. Yeah. Makes your life so much easier. Yeah. Brilliant. And Ginola as well. That's just pure Spurs.
Yeah. What a ledge. I'm enjoying watching him on I'm a Celebrity at the minute.
Oh yeah, of course. I totally forgot he was on that.
It's the only reason I'm watching.
Of course. And on the other side of things, and again, you can answer this like for both the men's and the women's, your favourite cult Spurs player. So we've had a lot of players on the men's team who maybe haven't been that great, but we defend them and we love them. And then as a player, maybe there's just someone that you feel is really underrated, or just even someone who is quite sort of lazy at training, but then can just suddenly sort of turn it on when it comes to playing.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say she was lazy, but for me, she's the most underrated player in the WSL. It's Ash Neville. Mm-hmm. That's my one from the ladies team. I think she, when you look at her stats, she's up there with the top players in the WSL. So for me, on the ladies' side, it's Ash Neville. I think she's such a good, like, she's a modern day fullback. She defensively is solid, but going forward, she also causes a lot of problems and also gets on the Spurs on the goal sheet. So for me, I think it's Ashley Neville, and I think she's just getting started, really. So I think she's one to definitely look out for in the future. So when I was thinking about this one, I was thinking about more so the underrated side of it from the men's team, and it was Moussa Dembélé, because I thought he was just, I mean, what a player. He, a box-to-box midfielder, you know, he'd break up any danger in that midfield area. The minute he had the ball at his feet, it just looked like it was glued to him, driving through the midfield and creative, scored goals, assisted goals. For me, I think he's probably one of the most underrated players that have ever played for Tottenham, and I think under Poch, he really just shone. I was gutted when he left.
Jenna, absolutely the same. Do you know, it's so funny, because when we did our original, when all of the podcasters had to answer their questions, he's my favourite player. And I think that the moment it all started to go wrong under Poch was the moment he left.
Yeah, why did he leave?
I suppose he was just a bit broken by the end, wasn't he, really? Yeah, you know, yeah. He was so strong, but at the same time, his body couldn't quite take it. I mean, I guess, like, you know what that's all about, right? Just kind of putting your body under that constant pressure day in, day out.
Yeah.
So I can count you as a Dem believer, can I?
Oh, absolutely.
Amazing. I love it. Now on to the match day rituals. So how would you and the team prepare for match days? Do you have any superstitions or anything you'd always have to eat?
On away days, we would play, not really superstitions, we would just chill out, play card games. Before the match, we had to have a Justin Bieber song being played. That was my only request. Just one song to get us going.
a song in particular, or just any Justin Bieber?
Any. There were some that they wouldn't let me play, but I wasn't fussy.
I'm the captain. My dressing room, my rules.
Just one song. So that was, in the changing room. And then for me, I always used to I was really funny about the food I'd eat before a match. So it was literally identical for the last 12 years. It would just be something really boring, like oats, berries, banana and peanut butter. But it's not very exciting, is it? But that's, if I didn't have that, it would throw me off. Yeah, something in my head. I'd have to have it. Another thing that I did earlier on in my career, I used to have like these lucky, I don't know if they were that lucky, but there were a pair of socks that I had to wear under my football socks. And I had them for years. By the end of it, they were horrible. And I had to throw them in the bin in the end. The socks and the oats for me.
Okay, socks and oats. That's quite good. When did you finally have to throw the socks away?
Oh, I think I might have even lost one, or I had holes in it and then they had to go, but then nothing changed really. So it was all in my head.
Did any of those rituals like change, as especially as you guys kind of, you got promoted and then you won trophies and then you were in the Women's Super League? So did anything sort of shift in your kind of mindset? Because it's such a massive change. Yeah, I still can't really get over it.
Yeah, like obviously, you know, you do like the things like the socks and putting a certain boot on first. Earlier on in my career, it used to really like mess with me, but it put me a bit off. But I guess as you go higher up the leagues, you realise that it's just all a bit of a farce. But no, I think, you know, as we got more success, when the games become more serious, the focus before match days was a lot more, you know, it was serious. We weren't there to have a laugh with our friends. Like when you look back 10 years ago, we'd turn up, people would arrive whenever they wanted. Some would arrive just before kickoff, not even warm up. So yeah, when you look at the preparation, and you know, if you don't prepare properly, then you're not going to be successful. And that became very clear early on to me. I think it was the season before we did the quadruple. We used to have a thing called the Sunday Fun Day. So we would go play our match and then we'd all go to the local pub and have a meal together and some drinks. And it got really popular, and we did it every week without fail. And then the beginning of the next season, Karen and Juan said to us, Sunday Fun Day is not happening anymore. And we were like, what? We have to. Anyway, we stopped it, and then we won the quadruple, got promotion and became professional footballers. So they knew best then.
This is a question I was going to ask you later on, but I'm going to ask it now because I feel like them banning Sunday Fun Day is a bit like Conte banning ketchup. Yeah. Charlie spoke to Michael Dawson last night, and I think he said that he just would have just carried on eating ketchup anyway, like
yeah,
a rebel.
Like,
but what would you do?
Well, I think I wouldn't have it at the training ground, but I'd have to have a bottle at home. I have to have ketchup with everything. But yeah, I understand like the changes though, because like small little changes can make a big difference, especially nutrition wise. But yeah, I don't think I can survive without ketchup.
You've got to have a joy. You've got to have joy in your life. Yeah. You've got to have those little treats, haven't you?
Absolutely.
But I guess this is it. And this must be something that you've really experienced as well. The kind of higher up the leagues you go and the more and more professional it got, just those more and more of those tweaks, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think I changed quite a bit, but there were small minor things. And I think that's why I had a career for so long that I did, really, because there's not many 36-year-olds that are still playing in the women's game. But it was things like getting rest, eating well, putting the right things in your body, recovery as well. So yeah, those three things for me, I tell them to the girls now at the moment, like that I'm coaching with, they just want to play football all day long. But you know, rest is just as important as actually playing, and what you put in your body can like improve your performance as well. So yeah, the minute I took that all a lot seriously, I saw that my performance is improved as well. So yeah, lots of small little details that do improve your performance.
Now, you spoke about winning the quadruple, so I don't know if this is going to be part of your answer, but your all-time favorite Spurs shirt, and do you have a specific match or a memory attached to that shirt?
Yes, it is that one. I think it was the 2016-17 Under Armour shirt. It's actually on my wall now. Yeah, that definitely. When I look back, because we had so many like photos of it, yeah, it's always in that shirt. And that was just it was an amazing year that year. And we also got to play at White Hart Lane just before it got knocked down. And that's where we won the league there to go into the WSL2. So yeah, that shirt just makes me smile whenever I see it, really.
That's a perfect memory, isn't it?
Yeah, defo. Especially we played against West Ham there, so it's always nice to beat West Ham. But we then got to lift the trophy there. It was incredible. And all our friends and family, it was a midweek match as well. So yeah, it was all just, we were never actually meant to win the league there. It just worked out that the results from the weekend before fell into our favour. So it wasn't till the Monday where we got a message saying, if we win, we won the league. So it all fell into place. And there was a lot of Spurs fans on the team at the time. So, yeah, you couldn't make it up, really.
How did you feel, like, leading the team out that day, knowing that, like, if you won, that you would have won the league?
Yeah, it was incredible. At the time, I don't think we were semi-pro, but I think we were training like three nights. We were training a lot more than anyone else because we knew that we had to win that league. But we had to go to work in the morning. So we had like teachers, paramedics, and like we're all just buzzing, wanting to get to the stadium. And yeah, it was incredible. And I remember, because I used to sit in Paxton Row, so I remember as I walked out, I looked over and I remember thinking, I wonder if I'm going to ever get to play there. So yeah, it was incredible again. I mean, I've been really fortunate that I've had so many good times and experiences, because I'm a Spurs fan as well, so it just makes them all that sweeter.
It really does mean more, doesn't it? Yeah. So now we come to the two really big questions, I think. Your Spurs heaven, first of all. Like we said, it doesn't have to be a specific game or a certain period, a player that plays alongside you, something to do with the manager, whatever. What's your Spurs heaven?
My Spurs heaven, and I'm sure, I imagine you've probably heard this before, it's got to be the second half of the Ajax match, Champions League. Sorry if it's a repeat, but I've never seen a 45 minutes of football like it. It was incredible. And my brother was actually at the game and he'd left at half time and he left. And he is like a proper fan, but he was so angry that he left and then he missed the best 45 minutes of football. He's never lived it down.
I thought I'd done some shameful stuff as a Spurs fan, but that like beats everything. That's
couldn't
amazing.
Look him in the eye for a while. And he was beating himself up for a good year about that, because he would have had the night of his life in there. But yeah, for me, that,
he was actually there.
Yeah, he was there. And he was
incredible.
So angry. And my brother's the most calm person you'll ever meet. So he must have been really, really annoyed with the first half performance.
I mean, it was shocking.
It was, but what a turnaround. Yeah, that and the celebration. I remember I just got in from training and I was icing my hamstring. So I was on the sofa and then and every time the goal went in, I was like jumping up and my hamstring was pinging. And
so is it Lucas Moura's fault that you had to retire because of your hamstring?
Basically, yeah.
We'll make him pay for that later. I mean, I think that's pretty high up on most Spurs fan lists, yeah. Really. Do you have one from your playing days?
Oh, I've got so many. I'll just sit here and bore you.
Honestly, this is like, I want to hear it all.
Okay. I'd say the, obviously winning the league at White Hart Lane is up there. Another one would be leading the team out for our first professional match at Stamford Bridge. I think at the time there was 35,000 people there, which was the record at the time. And then playing at White Hart Lane against Arsenal, and that time there was 45,000 people there, and that still is the record for the WSL. So I think just like looking around and seeing, being in a Spurs shirt and seeing all the young girls in the crowd, like, I mean, if I was their age and I had the opportunity to do that, like, you can't even like imagine what that would do for you. So that's also a great memory for me. But yeah, I mean, there's been so many. I've just been really blessed. Another one was probably when we had Aston Villa to win promotion to the WSL. It was a midweek match. We just needed one point, and God, actually, that might be my hell, because it was the longest match.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll save that for my hell.
Okay.
That was heaven and hell. It was hell, then it was heaven.
That's a very Spurs answer, isn't it? Well, should we go into it then? Do you want to talk about the hell? Let's do it.
So we just needed one point to win promotion. But we had we had another game to play. So it was Durham at the weekend. And Durham were a bit of a bogey team for us. So we wanted to get the job done against Aston Villa. So if we'd won the point, then we'd be through. We scored early on. Jess Naz scored, I think it was in 10 minutes. And literally for the rest of the game, I think it was the nerves, like the excitement. Everyone was just really not playing how we normally play, like making stupid mistakes. I think the occasion just got the better of us. We were literally hanging on to this 1-0 lead. And there was, I think the ref said there was like a minute left on the clock. And The goal mouth scrambles. They hit the bar. Ash cleared off the line. Chloe had to make a superb save. And it was like the ball was just pinging. It could have gone anywhere. Thank God it never went in. And then the ref blew his whistle. And then we'd turn from, like you say, hell, nearly messing it up to winning the league and getting promotion. And it was one of the best nights of our lives. So, yeah, that's I remember being on that pitch and just wishing the clock to go down, but it looked like it stood still.
What do you do in those situations? Because obviously I've only experienced that as a fan. I'm like, I don't know where to look. I can't look at the pitch anymore. If I'm watching at home, I'll just walk out of the room. Like, I'm a proper coward. But you're on the pitch. And what do you do?
I think, like, as one of the senior players, you've got to always keep the other girls up and going and staying together, and we were defending for our lives, and you could tell how much it meant. So I think that helped. Any other game we might not have defended like our whole worlds were on it, but I think you've got to ride out those storms, and there are stages during the match where you are under a lot of pressure and you've just got to stay strong and stay together. And but that was a long old storm, that match.
Yeah, I feel quite stressed hearing about it.
I tried to forget about it, but you brought it up asking about hell, so
I'm so sorry, it had to be done. Your Spurs, it's always one or the other, and as you say, sometimes both. Okay, so final question, where are you with Spurs right now?
Right,
both now. Teams, optimistic, negative, somewhere in between? What are you feeling?
I think we'll start with the women. I think for them, I'm feeling really optimistic. I think we've got a good run up now into Christmas. The January window, maybe some new players come in. I think the team's nearly there. I think we still need that out and out goal scorer, which we've missed. We've never really had. I love what Rachel Williams is doing up top, though. Like, she is a fantastic player. So for me, with the women, I think it's all positive. I think they've started off strongly and now it's just carrying on and building on that. Hopefully the injuries keep them to a minimum, because I think a few players now are picking up some knocks, but that's when the depth from the bench will come into play. So, yeah, with the women, I'm really optimistic and excited for the rest of the season. And I think for the men as well, I think, with Conte on board now, he's a winner. His enthusiasm, like, you can see it on the side of the pitch, the small changes that he's making. I think the players seem to be reacting well to him. I'm going to be optimistic with the men's as well. I'm a positive person. So I think it is a building process. We're still in that phase, but I think, and Conte could be the man to, set the team alight and get them back on track.
For the women's then, do you, and we do need a strike, I think, like, you are right about that, and I've heard that as well. Do you have an eye on anybody? If you got a sort of recommendation, you think someone who could come in and do a job, given that we're not gonna get Miedema to walk out on Arsenal?
There was a player who was free during the summer who I'd have thought would have fit in really well. Ebony Salmon, she was from Bristol. She's just an out and out prolific goal scorer. She's got pace. 9 times out of 10, if she has a chance, she buries it. Played against her a lot of times, and she's still very young, but she got snapped up by a team in the USA. But I thought she would have been fantastic. Yeah, Maidemar's not going to cross the North London divide, is she? She's not going anywhere. Rianne and the club, they've got a strong plan in place and we're starting to see the rewards. So I imagine they'll have their eye on people. I'll trust in them.
I do too. I think it's just all looking so good, really. We've done our Spurs 7. Thank you so much.
No worries.
Like, honestly, I had a million follow-up questions, but otherwise I'd just be keeping you here all day. So let's go with some listener questions, I think. We've got a question from Tim at Sock Formation, who says, is there anything Spurs can do structurally, do you think, that can help take the women's team to the same level as Chelsea etc. They say, I refuse to acknowledge Arsenal being at this level. So we'll just leave them out of it. Or is it just a matter of keep doing what they're doing, investing and recruiting well?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the girls are at the training centre, been there for a couple of years now, and that has benefited the team. You know, when you're training in those world-class facilities, you can't help but be motivated. You know, all you've got to do is turn up. Everything is there. There's not really that many excuses. So I think in that sense, it's great that the club have got the women's team in there and they have access to that. I think in terms of attracting players, I think that will go a long way because there's not many clubs that have them kind of facilities. I think Brighton are probably the only other ladies team that train within their men's setup. So I think the club have been great. I think the women's game, all the men's club could do better. But, you know, I think that will come with time and the more success that the team have, I think the more support they will get. In terms of Tottenham, I don't think at the minute we're ever going to compete money-wise with the Chelsea and Arsenal. But that's not to say in five years they won't. I do believe, as I've said before, they have a plan in place. And at the minute, considering the gap in the teams, the cost of the teams, they're punching above their weight in terms of money spent on players. So I think at the minute it's working for them. But yeah, if they're going to go to the next level, they need a lot more investment, which I think they will get with the more success.
Absolutely. This is a question from Charlie, also of Hometown Glory, but this is something that I'm really keen to see. And he says, can you see a day where Spurs women will play all their matches at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium?
I'd love to see that. I think realistically, at the minute with the women's game, after COVID, the crowds are, the number of crowds at games has declined a bit. And I think that's got to do with the fact that it's so accessible on TV at the minute. You could just put on the TV and watch it rather than going out on a cold day. So I think for the women's game, it's about filling out their home ground. So filling out the Hive now before you try and take it somewhere like the Tottenham Stadium every game. It's great that they get to play there on international weekends. I think that should continue. So whenever the men aren't around, I think that should definitely continue and grow because it opens up the game to other people that you might just have people coming to look at the stadium, but then they get to watch the match as well. And then, you know, you've got new fans there. I think I'd like to see them play there more. I don't think at the moment it's the right time just for the women's game. You know, it's all good being there, but half empty stadiums is, you know, it's not the best look. For me, I just think getting the crowds back up to the numbers that were coming to visit before COVID times. And that's the challenge for the WSL at the moment. And I think that will come with more support from men's media channels, players, you know, promoting it. I know the girls use their social media channels to plug it really well. You know, it's really important, Instagram and Twitter, for the women's game. But the men's team, the men's player have bigger reach, so could rely on them just posting a little bit more. So, yeah, I think in time, I'd love to see it. I'd hope if you fast forward 10 years, it's exciting to think where the game will be at that time. So yeah, I hope sometimes in the near future, but I don't think it's realistic for right now.
I'd love to see it so much. And I at least want to see the really big games.
Yeah, yeah.
I think at the stadium, definitely.
I think the derbies would be great.
That's it, yeah.
Because you get that atmosphere, both sets of fans, you get that more football feel. But women's game's so different anyway, isn't it? Like if you go down to the Hive, fans are sat amongst each other, and it's nice in that respect.
It is, but at the same time, we also want the big rivalry now, don't we?
There always is at the Tottenham Man United women one. I think it's because we were both come up together, so we were both in the Championship, and there was that rivalry from there.
Mm.
And I remember they came down to Cheshunt, which is where we used to play, and they were so loud, their fans. And then our fans got, it was like a proper, proper football match. And that's stuck ever since. So yeah, that'd be a good one to see there.
I'd love to see that. I mean, I've got a natural hatred for Manchester United anyway. So when I was watching the game the other week, I was like, come on, let's just do them, please. All right, another question from Faithful Freddie. which player would you have loved Spurs to have signed while you were playing? And if they could sign anyone in the world now, who would you love to see in the shirt?
I mean, I've got to say, I know she's an Arsenal player, but she is the greatest. It's got to be Miedema. And I've had to play against her quite a few times. And she's just, she has everything. You know, I think if you put her in a men's squad, I reckon she would do bits for them. Like, she is an incredible football player. She's at the top of her game. And she could solve that goal scoring issue that we have. She'd be the perfect fit. But I just don't think it's never going to happen. So, but, you know, if we could dream, that's a player I would love to see in the team now. And I would have loved to play with.
Yeah, she gives me that proper fear, which is such a big compliment. Do you know what I mean? Like, watching her going, oh no, what's she going to do? Yeah, come on, Viv. Don't you want a challenge?
Yeah. The thing with her as well, she could disappear, like not do anything for 88 minutes. And then she'll just score a hat trick with three, you know, with 2 minutes to go. So I think that's a sign of a really good player.
You'll think you've done a number on her and then all of a sudden, she is. Sammy Parker, who's been our best signing this season, do you think?
I really love Clemeron in centre mid. I think she's made a real difference. Her engine on her for 90 minutes, she's so consistent, and she's every game that she's played in, she's been one of the best players on the team, I think. She's just breaks up the play. She's really creative. She's an absolute warrior. Again, a bit like Josie. I think she's just a brick wall. She protects the back line as well. And I think, you know, a lot of success has come from our midfield. I think a couple of seasons before, our midfield kind of got a bit bypassed, was a bit weak, but she's really shored up that midfield area. And yeah, I've been really pleased with her.
That's brilliant. So do you feel like Rhiann and the team kind of identified that as a weakness, really? And
yeah, I think Kennedy did a good job of it last season, but obviously she went to Man City. So it was really important that they got, you know, a replacement. And I think for me, I prefer her in there. It's just a lot more aggressive, and she doesn't give players time on the ball to get the head up like she's on them. So yeah, for me, I think she's a great signing.
Would you ever like to manage the team in the future? That's a question from Philippa Kipling.
Philippa, I know Philippa.
Oh, no. Did she know the answer to this already?
No. I mean, if you'd have asked me this a while ago, I'd have said yes. But now I'm currently doing the college team. It's a lot. So at the minute, I'm just learning my trade. But who knows? I think, you know, being the manager of Tottenham women, it's a great number, isn't it? So I wouldn't say no, but at the minute I'm just learning my trade, and it's a lot to learn.
Such a change, I guess. That's an obvious thing to say, but
yeah, it is. And you see, you kind of take for granted like the work that does go on. Like, as a player, you just turn up and then you're the first to moan if something isn't right, but when actually behind the scenes, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. So yeah, it's completely different, but I'm enjoying seeing it from the other side of the game. So I've got both.
What's your favourite thing about it so far, do you think?
I think, like, obviously when you have a good week of training and then you get the 3 points and the players are, you know, putting into place what you've been teaching them, I think that's great. But I've really enjoyed just getting to know the players on like a personal level and just helping them in any way I can. I think that for me and seeing them grow from when they started in September to, you know, not being really shy and now you can't shut them up and they're confident. I've enjoyed like seeing them grow as people as well. So.
And finally, from Billy T, who is also Hometown Glory, what advice would you give to the girls' football team at my school who've just started playing for the first time this year? So Billy's a primary school teacher.
Ah, love it. I would say just first and foremost, just make sure they enjoy it. I think if you don't enjoy it, it's, you know, you're not going to get the best out of yourself. So enjoy it. I'd say give it your best every time you turn up for training or a match. There will be tough times, I think, with any sport, but it's about how you react, not to beat yourself up too much. think one of the best things I learned when I was playing was you'll do probably 90% of the things right, but you'll only remember the 10% that you've done wrong. So my coach said, think about all the good things that you've done, because it outweighs the bad things. But as humans, we always think of the bad things. So that was a good tip that I had that I'd like to pass on. And just to give the best account of yourself on and off the football pitch for me. So yeah, have fun and be a good person.
And how early is too early for me to get my kids playing? My daughters are nearly 5 and 2.
Ah, never too early. Never too early. I think I started, I started young, very young. And now there's so many opportunities from a young age. I might be biased, but I'd say it's never too early.
Good answer. That's what I wanted to hear. All right. Well, I think that's it for our questions. Thank you so much for answering them all. So I think we're just going to wrap up now with your cultural pick.
So I've been hooked on this series all through lockdown, and they've just dropped some more. It's called Below Deck. Have you heard of it?
I don't think I have, actually. What's it on?
So it's on E4, it's on Netflix, and it's on Prime. And it's basically like super yachts, but it follows the staff on the super yachts and the guests that come on. It's just really addictive. And, you know, you see the staff working hard all week, and then they have a night out and they just ruin everything. Like they end up getting really, really drunk. But it's so good. It's brilliant. I recommend it.
Behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. That sounds like it could be completely addictive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is. I've been watching it for about a year and a half now.
That's the thing that got you through lockdown.
Yeah, that 100%.
Below Deck. All right.
Below Deck.
That is one last question. Who is your star for the future, looking at our team, or somebody coming through the ranks?
Through the ranks. So star for the future, I would say, in the academy, she actually played in the Watford game, her debut, and she scored. Her name's Izzy Lane.
She's
16 or 17. She's doing so well at academy level, first team. I think Rhiann likes her. She's obviously played in the Watford game. And, I mean, what a debut. Comes on and scores. 11-0 win. So, yeah. Brilliant. And it's just so nice to see like a younger player coming out and, you know, achieving their dream. But the hard work is only starting now. But, you know, what a story for her at such a young age. So, yeah, I'd say Izzy Lane.
Okay, brilliant. Right. I'm going to keep an eye out for her. Thank you so much, Jenna. That was amazing. That was so interesting.
No worries.
Thank you just so much for taking the time to talk to us today. We really, really, really appreciate it.
That's all right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.